الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you choose to practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to what the authentic Islam says. Please call your friends and let them know, and your family members, and let them know that the Islamic studies class is about to begin, or Islamic Faith and Focus is about to begin, and they should tune in. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, or pen, in order to take notes. This is a class, and sometimes you are expected to take notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. And those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. This class is about telling you about Islam and perhaps bringing about some positive change in the world around us. And so what I'm going to discuss today is going to be a little bit different today's class. It's going to be, I have personally had the COVID-19 virus. And yes, I'm going to share this experience with you. Your teacher is sharing with his students, listener, what I've been through and what I went through with having the COVID-19 virus, or something they call the coronavirus and other names they call it, but I had it. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And in doing so, I want to basically do Islam and what the Quran says. Because Allah mentions that if you save a life of one person, it is as if you have saved the life of all of mankind. And of course, if you take the life of one person, it's as if you're taking the life of all of mankind. But I'm looking at the former more so than the latter of the two things that I mentioned. And it's about saving life as a one person. It is as if saving the life of all of mankind. And so sharing my experience with you, what I went through, it is my hope that I would save some lives or have some impact, positive impact on a person's life. I cannot save a life in terms of saying, oh, don't die, because that's in the hands of Allah. Allah, it mentions about kulli nafsun that it come out. Every soul, kulli nafsun that go to mount. Every soul will have a taste of death. We don't know when, where, how we're going to die, but for sure, each and every one of us are going to die. And we're going to be on the other side of the Barzakh, the other side of the divider, if you will. That's where we all are going to be. As we go on the side, life in this world or life in the next world. It's like those of you can look it up for yourself. You have Allah put this barrier between fresh water and salt water. And you can kind of see the line if you Google it or whatever way you can find this information, or maybe live near it. You can go online and you can see actual water, or even look at YouTube or other things. And you actually see water. The fresh water is fresh looking, and of course the salt water is very dark looking. And they have this divider. There's this divider between the two, and they don't cross each other. They do not mix with each other. And so that's what we're talking about also with the Barzakh, is that it doesn't mix. You have the world we live in right now, and all the people that Allah has taken their souls, they're in a whole nother time and place, a whole nother world. And so it will be a little bit different in class today, but hopefully I will get the message through what I went through. And you talk about in terms of having the coronavirus. When I had it, I did not, or that weeks or weeks before I knew I had it, I did not have a fever. I was taking a thermometer, and it showed me up and down as far as the fever is concerned. Sometimes it might be 105 or 103, but a lot of times it was in the 90s. And so I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I wasn't feeling well at all. I did not have any signs of the flu, such as chills, body aches, and all the different signs that a person has the flu. And many of you know what I'm talking about, because perhaps you had the flu before, or maybe even had a virus. And for me, this is my experience. I can't talk about your experience. I'm just talking about my experience about having or discovering that I had a coronavirus. I was not hungry. I did eat a little bit, but I was not hungry. I wanted to avoid even going to the hospital, because of course in the hospital you have what? You have sick people. And of course I didn't want to go there, because for fear that maybe I'll catch the virus, or the coronavirus there, but that did not happen. I really don't know where I caught the virus, and I'll try to get into that later on. I exercised 6 days a week for at least an hour, at the very least. Walk on treadmill and all the things you do, and lifting weights, all those things, just to kind of keep my system strong and keep myself in some kind of shape. And I always wore my mask and also social distance myself from others as much as I could, even more than the 6 feet that they recommend here in America, with WHO, a World Health Organization, and others at that time, that they recommended 6 feet and put on masks. I would put maybe 10 feet and kept my mask on at all times. Matter of fact, even around my family members, I kept my mask on, because you have some that were saying one of the main ways that people catch the virus is even around family members. So I always kept my mask on. With all of that, I felt bad, and I knew I was sick, but I did not know how sick I was. My family and doctor friends that I know, some work at the hospital where I was also the chaplain there, and some I just knew just as friends, and they talked me into going to the hospital. I said, okay, fine, I will go to the hospital. After my wife had placed the hospital bracelet on me, the registration band on me, I was wheeled into a room and placed on an oxygen ventilator and other medical services devices and equipment. I was placed in ICU, that's intensive care unit. All kinds of tubes came out of me or were put inside of me. I was placed into a medically induced coma. I just want to share this with you, my students, because maybe some of you gone through this already with the coronavirus. Some of your family members are going through this now. And maybe you're grieving because you lost someone that's been going through, that caught the virus and went through it. And interestingly, I want to say this, is that I have relatives while I was in the hospital. I have relatives that went to the hospital on a Thursday, for example, and then she was like, I was twice her age. And then she ended up going to the hospital on a Thursday, and then she died on a Saturday. And so it was her time, place, and way for her to die, and she ended up dying. And I want to move on from talking about that. And so I was placed, as I said, in ICU, all kind of tubes coming out of me, and I was placed into a medically induced coma, and you can look that up too if you like. I woke up a month or so later in a regular room. Had no idea about what had happened to me, and it was a new year. They kept asking me, the doctors and the nurses, say, well, do you know what year it is? Do you know what month it is? Do you know today's date? And of course, I did not know anything, because I was in the coma, and I just happened to be in the, I happened to go, they happened to go into a new year, and I did not even know we went into a new year. And I could not talk, and I could not walk. My balance was not stable. I could only do hand signals to my family in order to communicate with them, and also with hospital personnel, such as thumbs up or shaking my head up and down or side to side, up and down for yes and side to side for no. That's the only way I could communicate with them, because I hadn't used my voice in a while, and it was hard for me. I couldn't speak, or I had to whisper when I spoke. I had no idea where I had caught the virus. Again, I mentioned that earlier. I didn't know where I caught it. I was around some people, but I kept my distance as much as possible and always wore my mask, but I just didn't know where I had caught the virus. I was happy that my family and friends prayed for me to fully recover. I have friends overseas and they prayed for me. I have friends here in America and they prayed for me that I will recover and that Allah not take my soul. And obviously by me talking to you all, that Allah did not take my soul. Once I could talk, I asked my wife why she had not pulled a plug on me. Not that I was trying to commit suicide or anything like that. I wanted to die. No, I did not. That's not the case. But I was just wondering why she did not pull the plug, since I was in, had all these different tubes keeping me going, if you will. And she couldn't even visit me, and her family couldn't visit me because of coronavirus, and so they couldn't come see me. But I was in bad shape. My family, I share this with you too. They were sitting around a table. And didn't know, do we plan for him, meaning me, coming home, or plan for his funeral? So they're like between, not knowing what's going on. They just knew that I was in a bad way, and many of the people that they knew that got coronavirus, they were super sick or real sick, or they ended up not at all coming back home, or they would come back home different. They would come back home with different bad conditions. I saw some people, at least a guy said he had caught coronavirus and he lost all his fingers on both hands. Another guy had his lungs replaced. Another person I knew, they were put on dialysis. So a lot of things people go through, even some people go through in the terms of having this coronavirus, which attacks a lot of the internal organs. And those of you, and let me get to what my wife said. My wife, after I asked her the question, why did she pull the plug? She gave me the correct Islamic answer, and which was that my heart and my brain were still functioning, so she could not unplug my life-saving, life-preserving, life-maintaining equipment. And so, from the Islamic standpoint, that's the situation, and the fact that if a person's brain is functioning and their heart is functioning, then you cannot pull the plug. But if they're functioning only off of a machine, otherwise when you pull the plug in the machine, they're going to die, then they can't basically live like that. And a person want to continue for them to stay in the hospital and just not give up hope, that would be up to them. But from many of the scholars, they said if the person's brain is functioning and the heart is functioning, then of course that you don't put a plug in that individual. But of course, if their brain and heart is not functioning, then you have the right to pull the plug on an individual and then prepare for their janazah. In other words, prepare for to underbury that individual. So you know what, my beautiful students, while I was in the coma, my family were talking to me, but I did not hear them. Some people say people in a coma, that kind of thing, they can hear you. So keep saying, come on back, we're here, we're waiting for you, don't go, all those things. I don't recall hearing any of those things from my family members and from any friends that were talking to me through the video. And so, and here in America at least, you can use video to see your family members and to communicate with them, because you can't necessarily go, in most places, you can't go visit them because of the corona, but some hospitals are locked down like that, but they more than likely can provide for you video chat with the person who is sick. particularly when they come out of the ICU. The ICU, the intensive care unit, they have a lot of stuff going on, but when it plays into a room, they could communicate better with you than, or sometimes even in ICU, they could communicate better with you than they can communicate with you through a video chat. So if you didn't know that, hopefully you're where you live, they have this kind of thing, or if you want to go out, and you can go out and buy not the laptop so much, but the tablet, and then donate or give it to the hospital for your family member, or give it to your, ask them to give it to your family member, so you communicate with your family member, so you can't visit them like my family did to me. And there was a young lady who was much younger than I, that she also had a corona. She went into the hospital, and she did not come back from that, or end up burying her. Her family did not know that they could communicate with her through video chat. Through the tablet, and we informed her about that, and then she said, "Oh, I didn't know that." So this is something that maybe you all didn't know as my students, and you, if you haven't gone through it, tell your friends or family members. This is what you can ask at the hospital, or donate something to the hospital, or you get donate or give it to your family member so that they will be able to video chat with you. And on the other hand, if you have the money, donate the laptops, the tablets to the hospital, because there may be other people in the same situation and cannot afford to visit their family members, but they want to communicate with them. And you may get the blessings of giving this tablet to the hospital for the people in the ICU or for the people in the hospital, so you can communicate with them because you can't go see them because of corona restrictions. And so, also, keep in mind, I did not hear a thing that my family was saying. I couldn't hear them. But while in a coma, I was in a special place, in a special time, far different from my physical place and my physical time. I can't get into where I was, but I wasn't present here where I was with my family members. I was just in a whole nother place under the induced coma, and my family had to tell me that they had a medically induced coma on me in order for me to survive and them to do what they needed to do and give the care I needed to receive. I want to also mention to you is that I did not have many of the after effects or do not have many after effects or after effect of the COVID challenges that others people have, such as brain fog, problems with walking, talking. Allah blessed me not to have those things, and I appreciate that blessing from Allah not to have those things that I'm pretty normal, if you will, and that I was before, as you can hear, before I got the virus. And so don't think that because a person has a virus, caught the virus, that they're going to change. They're going to have some change, of course. They may have be a law hall person, and something might continue for a while. Of course that's going to happen, but you have to be patient with the individual who is recovering from coronavirus. Very patient with them, patient with the hospital. Do a lot of praying. Pray to Allah and ask Allah to help this individual. And the best time to pray, and I'm talking particularly to my Muslim brothers and sisters, best time to pray is to pray like say 2 or 3 in the morning. Everyone else is asleep and you're the only one, basically you're the only one up. And so you get up and you ask Allah, and you make 2 rakat. We call it tahajjud prayer. And so you make the wudu, wash up. You make 2 rakats, you units of prayer, and then you raise your hand up and you ask Allah for what you praise Allah, prayers upon the Prophet, and then you ask Allah for what you want, need, and desire. Allah comes down to the lower heaven at that time, and he said to those around him, he said, "Who's up, who asking of me, I will give to them." Allah said, ask of me. He said, seek help for me. And so I'm encouraging my students to do that, to ask of Allah and also to ask the help from Allah. Yes, you're going through something right now, and ask Allah to help you to make it through what you're going through. And you and the person, if you're going to the hospital, or your person that you love one is inside of their in the hospital in their beds with corona or any kind of sickness, then you pray for the individual and have the faith. My doctors, the ones that are around me and all, and they heard a lot of on the video and chat. They heard my wife do a lot of prayer for me, a lot of praying for me. My children praying for me. But my wife, they said my wife was a very religious lady, they call her. That she prayed a lot for me. Whatever prayer you know. You may say, oh, Imam, I don't know a lot of prayers, that kind of thing. Okay. If your mouth moves and you have words, then say those words to Allah. Allah understands all things. Allah understands if you can talk with your mouth or talk with your hands or maybe not talk at all. Allah understands. So communicate with Allah. I want to mention, I remember when I was when I came out of the coma and was in a regular hospital room, it was hard for me to think and also to think, even to say my alphabet backwards. Of Z, Y, and et cetera. The English alphabet, I couldn't hardly say that backwards. Had to really think hard in order to say them backwards. And also, even doing numbers backwards from 20 to 1, 20, 19, 18, 17, and the like, that was difficult for me to do. I haven't really think about it because I was in a coma for a while. And I hadn't, and I was just out of it because of what the virus had, the devastation that the virus had done to me and to my ability to think, my ability to walk, my ability to talk, all these things that we take for granted that many of us can do, and just think it's those things that you can do were taken away. I do have some smell problems and I do have some taste problems, and that's like normal with coronavirus, and that's normal with those people who are your family members. What they're going to go through if they survive, or those who are surviving, is what they're going through now. Food tastes different and it smells different. Sometimes you can't smell it at all, like pizza or something like that. Sometimes you can't smell it at all, but you know it tastes good, and you don't have a lot of taste in your mouth because you had the coronavirus, so it really don't have the pizza taste in your mouth, or the iced tea in your mouth, or whatever it is that you eat. I don't know, wherever you live, that wherever you have, whatever you do, lamb, whatever you eat, chicken, you don't have that taste, that recognized taste in your mouth, or the smell in your mouth. And hopefully, inshallah, it will come back to you. But for right now, it's a challenge. And those who have not gone through it, please be patient with those who have gone through it, and rely on Allah. This is my 81st episode, and I built up from there a lot of things up even to this moment. And you all have been come to my class. You know basic Islamic knowledge, fundamental about Islam. Islam 101. You know that, and so it'll be my hope that you apply some of the knowledge I've been teaching you to this moment when your family needs you most. Or you say you're grieving, and the thing is, sometimes you don't have closure, my understanding is no such thing as closure. And sometimes you may not want to close from a person that you lost, or something that is something in the air, a smell or something like that. It reminds you of the person. Something that someone says reminds you of the person, or someone in the family has a voice or speaks like that person. It reminds you of that individual. If I remember correctly, Rasulullah, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he would be upstairs, and then I think the sister of Khadijah, because he loved that woman in life and in death, so much so that his wife, present wife Aisha, you know, Anha, that she was sort of jealous of Khadija, because the Prophet ﷺ, he loved Khadija, his first wife. And so when he was upstairs and his wife's sister would come to visit after her death, then he would hear her, and a voice sounded like the voice of Khadija. And so he would do what? He would like remind him of Khadija. So I just want to mention that to you all, to my students. I'm starting to run out of time, so I just want to share with my students my experience with the COVID-19 virus, and it's my hope that someone will help, some of what I said that would help you, and some experience that I mentioned will also help you to make it through what you're going through pertaining to coronavirus. We all don't know when it's going to end. Some of us may not even know when it began. But I hopefully something that I said will help you make it through this coronavirus pandemic that the world is experiencing. Thank you for listening. You have been attending the Islamic Faith and Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.